California got $66 billion in PPP, and it wasn't enough. The need is massive. And so we need to keep moving. We need to keep pushing, but it has significant implications. But as you're thinking about your business, I would be really interested in thinking about what is consumer behavior going to do? So from a business owner's perspective, what does that mean for the services and the products that I offer? Are there opportunities? Because I think there are some things about this new reality of ordering stuff online and working from home that many consumers are probably going to like.
It's no secret that the coronavirus is affecting all of us as individuals, but the effect it's having on business, especially small business, is unprecedented. We need a game plan, and fast. If we're going to survive this, we need resources and we need each other. We can't do it alone. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business. With my background in economic and workforce development, disaster preparedness, and general business strategy, I know I can help you navigate this scary time in your business and beyond. It's all about resiliency. I'll have the most current solutions and best practices available so we can ensure your business not only survives this crisis, but thrives once we start moving forward again. Co-hosting with me will be my colleague, Sid Varakara, principal of 10 Page Memo. We'll have invited experts to help us navigate through the current noisy landscape of resources and programs that are being made available today and who will be able to prepare us for tomorrow. Let's do this together. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business.
You're listening to Hack My Business in partnership with Avant House Media. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to like and leave us a review of your thoughts on the show.
Welcome back to Hack My Business. This is Jesse Torres, host of Hack My Business, and I'm so excited to be welcoming back a good friend of the program, Mark Herbert, who's going to be talking with us about his outlook for 2021 on small business issues and concerns for the small business community. He's also got some really exciting news to be sharing about some great new programs that are rolling out from the state of California. And I know he's been working really hard behind the scenes to get the word out for those programs. So just really excited, Mark, to have you back sharing with us again your wisdom and insights. For those who maybe didn't get a chance to listen in on the earlier episode we have with Mark, he is the Vice President for Small Business Majority, which is a national organization focusing on small business advocacy. Mark oversees policy, outreach, and development efforts for the state of California and works across the state focusing on items such as responsible small business lending and other kind of crucial issues related to the small business community here in California. So Mark, welcome back, man. It's always good to see you.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it. Good to be here. Good to be back and hanging out with you this evening. And look forward to chatting a little bit about what we expect 21 to hold. I do want to just mention, last time I was here, we talked briefly about the fact that I live in suburbia.
Yeah.
So I bought a pool for my kids,
okay.
like a 15 footer. And it was literally, bar none, best $300 I've ever spent in my entire life, because this thing has lasted so long. It made the summer possible for us not to probably want to sell our children.
See that,
so, yeah. You know, I remember mentioning it and just going back to it. I just want to say, I hope someone took from that first episode that it's time to buy a pool because it will save your life.
Yeah. I feel like you've made some key buys that I should have invested in as well. Because I remember having this conversation. And in fact, I went the other way. I said, you know what, kids, we're not going to get the above ground pool, but here's water pistols, right? And let me tell you, the water pistol thing was a quick fad, you know, it doesn't go anywhere. And then I understand that you have essentially a temporary shelter there on your property. Can you share with the audience, you know, where you're at right now?
What you see here is my office. And what it is I actually purchased an old trailer, gutted it, fixed it up. And now the best part is I can literally physically leave my house, come to my work. It's sitting in my side yard, and then leave my office and go back home and go back. So it's about it's a little bit longer of a commute. Went from about 20 feet to maybe, you know, like 50 to 75 feet. So there's, you know, it wasn't all good in gravy. But now that I have a place to actually spend time, in all seriousness, is actually brilliant for my mental health because I can actually leave work here and go back and deal with the little ones afterwards.
You've achieved privacy, which in this time, it's so precious. It's interesting because you know, we had you on the show very early. In fact, it was last May. So it's been a little bit over 6 months, approaching over the 6 month mark. How has the world been treating you, man? I mean, I think back then when we were chatting, it felt like we were getting past something. I felt like we had gone through the worst of it and that we're on the road somewhere different. So what's it been like for you the past 6 months?
It's been kind of nuts. It feels like it has been the longest time I've ever had and the shortest time. Like, it feels like I've always been going to work in my sweatpants. Like, that's just normal what we do now. But at the same time, like, it's the holidays. Right now, it's the holidays. So it's this weird thing where it feels like it's been so much work and so many things have changed in such a short amount of time. Yet it feels like we've always just been in this grind where it's really hard to see the end. It's just been such a bizarre place. And then you add families and Zoom schooling. And then, of course, what we're here to talk about today, how challenging the small business environment is for the folks that we work with.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It feels like just one long day. And I think I read that because it's all just repetitive, essentially actions, that you don't get a sense of time anymore. I can't believe it's December either. And that we're approaching, well, I'm glad we're approaching the end of the year, but it just feels like one short and very long journey at the same time, which is crazy.
Absolutely. I know it's bizarre, but it's totally true.
I did some research on this, trying to get a sense of, okay, the last time we talked with you and how things have changed since then. So when we last spoke, the total number of cases statewide, as far as coronavirus goes, was 52,000. And now as of today, or at least as of the last count yesterday, so today is December 2nd. When we're doing this recording, as of December 1st, the total number of cases here in California was about 1.2 million. We're seeing now approaching this crazy number of 21,000 daily cases. I know that the governor's been talking about statewide lockdown again, similar to what we experienced in March. And I know you've been studying small business, the state of small business here in California throughout the entirety. And I see you guys everywhere really trying to get your arms around the issues and how to best advocate. So let me ask you, man, what kind of sea change are we seeing when it comes to our small business community? What is it like right now out there for them?
At this moment, almost in any moment since the original lockdown, we're really at an inflection point in whether small businesses are going to make it or not. So way back in May, when we were last talking, I mean, we were talking about, all right, the federal government stepped up. We have the CARES Act. There's going to be a bunch of PPP money that's going to be going to the really small businesses that need it. And now what are we going to do for that next round of federal relief? And here we are 6 months later, and we're still waiting. And so we had this emergency phase where PPP was put in play. And really, you had everyone kind of throwing the kitchen sink at the problem. What do business owners need to do? What do policymakers need to do? All sorts of solutions were going out the door. Some of them worked well, some of them not so well. But after we got through the emergency phase, it really became a pivot or die. And businesses had to figure out, we are now in this new phase. And I think we were just starting to get into this pivot phase last time we talked. It was really around, what do I need to do to build a new business model so that I can exist in this moment and in this environment? And there's so many uncertainties. That was an incredibly challenging thing to do. And folks had to do that midsummer, early fall. And so by this point, you've done that. If you're a business owner, you listen to this, you have gone to heaven and earth and back to try to make this thing work for your business. And at this moment, it is survival. It is, can you hang on and make it until we see some semblance of normalcy come back? So when you say, like, what are we seeing? Like, I see business owners hanging on by their fingernails and whether or not they're going to make it. We're waiting for federal relief that still hasn't come. Really excited to talk about California Rebuilding Fund that's going to provide some level of support. But there are so many challenges. And so in this moment, it could really go either way. And small business owners have been hanging on as long as they can. And so really concerned about what we do over the next really 2 months will determine what sort of a businesses are able to survive this into 2021 and beyond.
I really feel like there's a lot of flawed designs, and maybe we're just all so optimistic, right? The assumptions that, okay, it's only going to last 3 months, or that's the window of time to be thinking about. I mean, I was in the same boat, you know, thinking that PPP will get us all through. How can it not be enough? I mean, the size and the scale of that and the millions of people that were supported through all the economic injury disaster loans, the PPP programs, all the local programs that emerged out of the CARES Act, and it still wasn't enough. And I think you're absolutely right. The vibe I'm getting and just talking with small business owners here in my own community is that it's very dark times. I mean, they're not certain if they can really survive the next 3 weeks, you know, let alone 3 months.
I mean, on that point with PPP, I think it's so important. I sort of laid out three phases. We had the emergency phase, this pivot phase, and now this survival phase. PPP was a policy built to address the emergency phase.
Right.
That was 6 months ago.
Right.
PPP isn't built to address the current needs of small business owners. And so that's why I know we've been working with you. We've been working with a lot of different advocates all over the state, DC, trying to make sure that the state and federal government are trying to think of solutions that are survival solutions, not emergency solutions, but survival solutions. And that's really where we find ourselves now. And so what happens over the next couple months is going to be so important.
There definitely has been some action at the state level. I mean, the governor and his team have really been pushing to get some new programs out there. I know that you worked behind the scenes, in front of the scene, to really get the word out and to help put these programs together. So why don't you fill us in? What are some of the exciting new programs that you've seen come out over the past really couple weeks?
And again, really pivotal moment. So as we were seeing PPP get into the community, get to small businesses, we still wanted to start planning about, okay, what's next? What's going to be necessary for survival? And at the end of the day, in this massive uncertainty that exists, small business owners need capital. They need cash to figure out how to make their rent, how to make the payroll they have, how to cover the losses, inventory, all these challenges. And so capital is going to be king, but because it is so uncertain, banks and large lenders aren't quite sure what sort of repayment businesses are going to be able to make. So the risky businesses, the really small businesses that don't have a lot of runway, it's finding it very difficult to access capital. And that's where we need the government to step in and subsidize that capital, de-risk that capital, and make it more affordable for small businesses. So I've been fortunate to be part of an organization, a California, a small enterprise task force, bunch of volunteers. There are lawyers, private investment folks, nonprofit executives who just came together and said, what can we do in this moment to help small businesses? Really smart people were part of it. And from this effort, a lot of different work streams, but one of the main one was, how do we build a liquidity facility? So basically, how do we get cash to the lenders who are making loans to the really small businesses? So that's how do you get cash to CDFIs or community development financial institutions. So these are mission-driven lenders. Most of them are nonprofits. They exist in our communities and they subsidize loans to small businesses so that they can make affordable loans to small businesses throughout a community. So this effort was, what can we do to support them in this moment when they're trying to get loans to small businesses? So from that, looking at the different options available. And during this time, that's when the state stepped up. Governor announced that they were going to put $50 million into the Small Business Loan Disaster Guarantee Program. I know, really long name, but it's classic government, right? Like that's what we love to do. Classic. But it's a fantastic program. And what it does is exactly what I said before. It de-risks the capital. It allows businesses to get an affordable product so that they can actually then operate their business, even if they seem to be a riskier business. So the governor stepped up and then the legislature matched that with another $50 million. And then on top of that was an additional $25 million. So the state of California, while the federal government was trying to figure out how to do a second round stimulus, the state was already stepping in. The state was already figuring out, what can we do now? How do we shore up these programs? How do we get capital to the businesses that need it? And so in that context, there's really new program emerged, and it's a public-private partnership called the California Rebuilding Fund. It just launched not that long ago. It's live right now. You can go to caloanfund.org and you can check out all the products that are available. So caloanfund.org. Check it out. You can go and see what's available. And there's a one-page application. You fill it out. You get connected with one of these CDFIs or these community development financial institutions, and then you can get one of those loans. It's not a grant. It is a loan, but it's a really amazing product. It's about 4.25%. And the first year is interest-only payments. So it's built to get cash in your pocket for your small business so that then you can figure out how to grow your way out of this thing in the year to come. So that's an initiative that had private investors. So we saw lots of private philanthropy step up, a number of different large corporations step up to put money into this fund to get the dollars out the door. And it's just been a really impressive public-private partnership that's met this moment to really meet the needs of small businesses. So it's a really exciting initiative, still lots to do, but in this moment, there hopefully are going to be more tools and more products available for small businesses.
I know so many people have put a lot of work behind this and even just framing out what is the best solution to move forward on right now. I mean, that takes a lot of time and effort. I'm just really glad that we didn't rest. I mean, I think so many other states, we're fortunate. In California, we have a tremendous amount of resources and great partners. but that we didn't wait for the federal government to take action. I mean, we couldn't. California has the most small businesses of any state. We're at 4.1 million last time I looked from SBA. That's a huge community. It's crazy that, think about it, say $100 million fund or even $150 million fund, that's only so many small businesses are going to get served. But anything we can do to help is really important. I know the state also introduced a new grant program, Mark. I'm not sure if you're able to talk about that or have any details.
Yeah, really exciting. I mean, massive commitment. And the beauty of it is it's grants, because something that we at Small Business Majority have been advocating for a long time is let's just get cash into the hands of the business owners that need it so that they can make the best decisions about what they need to survive. And so the state stepped up. So in addition to this loan fund that's now launched, the governor just announced $500 million in grants that are going to go out, is still working through all the different details on how that's going to be delivered. But it's a huge statement and it's a huge investment. And so the sooner those dollars can make it to the businesses that need it, the better. And then the more businesses that can survive through the winter and think about growing in the spring. So it's a massive investment, a lot more details to come in terms of how exactly that's going to be structured, how folks can access it. But hopefully in the coming weeks, that'll be clear. And we're going to be working as diligently as possible with the administration and with the organizers of this effort to make sure that it gets to the businesses that need it.
I'm beside myself on this opportunity. Over the years, you always get asked, okay, what are the grants available for small businesses? And inevitably, I've always had to say, there are no grants, you know, you're on your own. But now for the first time, I can say there is a grant program that you can tap into and is designed just for you for right now in the darkest times. So yeah, I mean, I don't envy the team, you know, having to process all those applications and what I'm sure is going to be a short amount of time. But what an incredible move. I applaud the legislature and the governor's team for pulling that off. And I know that you're always kind of there in the mix, man. So thank you on behalf of all of us.
Yeah, no, it's a huge deal. And we're really excited about it and excited to see it happen and excited to support the administration as they make it happen.
The other big reason why we want to bring you back is that you always have this eye on a crystal ball looking ahead, because just Small Business Majority, I mean, you guys are working on national issues when it comes to small businesses, not just here in California, although I know that's your wheelhouse. So we wanted to get your thoughts looking ahead into 2021, as murky as it is. What do you see out there as far as key priorities for our small businesses? Are there a few things that you would like to share with our listeners that might be helpful as they think about, okay, what do I need to keep my eye on in this coming year?
Actually, I'm kind of surprised you're asking me that, because last time I was here, my predictions were terrible. I think my first one was like, we have to think about what we're going to ask the federal government to do in the second round of relief. And right, that was really smart, because that hasn't happened. Yeah. And then 6 months later, right? So my 6 months prediction was great. So please, you know, enjoy these next ones. I'm sure they'll be just as good as we think about the future.
That point still holds, Mark. It's just that it got delayed, man. You had to wait for a new president to come in before that can actually be explored, which they're doing right now. I mean, to give them credit, I mean, it looks like they're going to try to pull off something before the end of the year. I mean, we'll see. But as far as tangible things or things that are, I guess, a little more concrete, what do you see?
I think right now we really are at an inflection point, and there's so much uncertainty just in the next 30 to 60 days. We have the grant program coming online. It's $500 million. Who knows how long it's going to take to get out? I mean, it's a lot of money to get out in as quickly as possible, but that's going to alter the small business capital marketplace, right? California Building Fund's launched. Thousands of applications are coming in. Businesses are starting to get loans. Really exciting to see. We have, as you just mentioned, the federal government. Are they going to get a relief package done before the new administration is sworn in? Those three aspects, just in a very short amount of time, have massive implications for the future. So this is a really critical inflection point on how those three pieces play out. And so it's hard to sort of look beyond that, because so much is going to ride on how that works, whether we get the federal relief, you know, how quickly we can move to get that incredible leadership and investment of $500 million out the door, and then how we can continue to scale the California Building Fund. Because to your point, in talking about a fund, even a $500 million grant fund or a loan fund that has hundreds of millions of dollars, California got $66 billion in PPP, and it wasn't enough. The need is massive. And so we need to keep moving. We need to keep pushing, but it has significant implications. So I think the biggest thing, and then the federal, are we going to see the federal government step in? So I would say the biggest thing, though, as a business owner, as you're trying to figure out, how do I survive? One is just hang on. Do everything you can to hang on. We've heard everything from restaurants thinking about, well, maybe I need to shut down for a month or two. How do I juggle what I have? I mean, there's so many different options out there. Connect with a local resource provider, their Small Business Development Center network. They're amazing. They're in your local community. Reach out to them for free. They'll help you try to figure out what's my best option. So I encourage you to do that. But as you're thinking about your business, I would be really interested in thinking about what is consumer behavior going to do? What's going to happen? We've seen a massive change, obviously, in consumer behavior. You know, e-commerce is up over 50%. People's movements have completely changed. So many more folks are working remotely. So from a business owner's perspective, what does that mean for my business, right? What does that mean for the services and the products that I offer? And think about it, are there opportunities? Because I think there are some things about this new reality of ordering stuff online and working from home that many consumers are probably going to like. And those things that they like, there's going to be a market for them next year. Even if they don't have to do those things anymore because the vaccine comes through and maybe that happens by the end of next year, there's still going to be consumer trends that are going to create a market for goods and services based on people's experiences now that didn't exist before. And so there's a built-in market opportunity there to think about, how do I access that? And so my best recommendation would be, think about your consumers, think about your customers. What was their behavior before COVID? What is their behavior now during this madness? And then if you were those customers, what parts of their behavior do you think they like? And how can you meet that need? How can you invest in that opportunity? And how can you allow them to keep those pieces of remote working, delivery, curbside pickup? Like, what are the things that worked really well? And then how can you double down on those and grow those? Because I think there are going to be a lot of opportunities thinking about that in the future.
I think that's all really key insights. I mean, you're talking about access to capital, all the resources are coming down and where you should be paying attention, especially here at the state. And then hopefully, you know, we'll see some movement on the federal level, the shifting consumer trends. And then also, you know, your thought around, and this is something that I've seen really kind of taking hold, the idea of innovation, that you can't stop trying new things. You got to find a way to adapt and strategize and find resiliency within yourself. And I think for many people, what they're maybe not capitalizing fully is that there is a network of technical assistance providers, what we call technical assistance, which is really just a way of saying you can get free one-on-one help. If you're not comfortable getting outside your comfort zone, there's a network of people available to help. You just got to get connected in to those network of providers. But I'm also really curious, you know, if you have any perspective around, for those, there's a lot of concern about the mom and pop shops, right? The brick and mortar, when it comes to commercial leases, and this was an issue that came up here in the state around the various propositions. But what do you see on that forefront as far as commercial leases or rent relief, that kind of thing?
I think that's a huge, huge issue. And you're right. I mean, I think capital is going to be number one. How that marketplace shakes out is going to inform so much of the future in 2021. And that's going to inform this piece as well. Because as people think about their commercial leases, there's been eviction moratoriums. Many counties have adopted that. So if you're a small business, you're a corner shop, even if you're not paying your lease, you can still stay. You cannot get evicted if the county has opted into this. But that's going to expire in March of 2021. And you still owe that amount. So we're seeing businesses 50, 150, 200K in debt for back rent. And so what are they going to do? What's going to happen? What if they are able to identify opportunities to grow, but how do you then tackle a $200,000 wall of debt? How can you carry that? And so there are a lot of businesses who right now are trying to figure out, how do I make it through the holiday season? And how do I make the profit that I need to continue on? And then many of those are going to face this next thing, which is commercial leases. And am I going to be able to pay when it comes due in March? And so as policymakers think about priorities for next year, that has to be one of them. And so as you think about even your relationship with your landlord, if you have a lease, I would encourage you to try to negotiate as much as you can. Most of what's happening right now is folks are just voluntarily negotiating if they can. I know a lot of leasing companies are providing rebates and trying to work with the employers. Some are not. And so we know that there are policymakers trying to figure, are there other ways to finance that debt? Are there ways to figure out how to take care of that and address that? Because we don't want a rash of closures that then require a whole bunch of businesses to put money into starting new businesses, because what's going to happen to that local economy if we see just a whole bunch of business closures in quick succession? So work with your property manager, work with your leasing company if you are in this position, but know it's definitely something that's a priority. And if you're interested in getting involved on a policy level, reach out to me. I love to talk with you, because we're talking with folks about how to try to fix that.
I was just about to mention that for those, often small businesses feel like they don't have a voice because there are just so many and represent so many different industries, and it can be hard for them to really form essentially a community. But everybody should know that the small business majority has been doing tremendous work and elevating priorities of the small businesses to the legislature. I was curious, Mark, if you were able to provide any kind of preview for maybe some of your policy priorities moving into 2021. I know the legislature's reconvening, governor's budget comes out at the top of the year. Anything to look forward to policy-wise from you guys?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it already. So one is access to capital, right? How do we double down on these investments? And I think the main priority for us is all you business owners out there that are listening to this, you already know it's not a level playing field when you try to access capital from a big bank. Banks are built to primarily provide loans to folks who already don't really need them, right? The small guys, the folks who need those loans, oftentimes that's why you need to go to a community development financial institution or some other community bank or an alternative lender, because it's hard to get capital, especially when you need it the most. So one of our priorities is we're thankful that folks are actually trying to fix this problem small business owners have now. We get lip service around small businesses all the time from policymakers, but there is real desire to try to address that. So we want to prioritize policies that are going to change the infrastructure for capital access for really small businesses in the future. So not just one or two band-aids, but we want long-term fixes. So we're thinking about how do we get more money to CDFIs? Do we need to create a CDFI fund? Do we need to talk about additional CRA credits from other industries? Do we need to talk about a liquidity through the iBank so that they can buy loans from CDFIs to free up cash so those CDFIs can make more loans? There's a very robust conversation happening right now about a public bank and what role that could play in some sort of recovery. But our priority is thinking about how do we unlock as much capital for long-term strategic purposes for small businesses, because we don't want to go back to how the economy was before. We want to build back in a way that creates a more robust small business marketplace. So capital is going to be huge for that. We talked a little bit about commercial leases. That's going to be a priority. And then the last thing is just around how do we make sure that entrepreneurs who are really stressed and have a handful of employees, how do we make sure that they are still able to offer a quality job to those employees? How do we make sure that healthcare is still affordable? How do we make sure that you can still access retirement? How do we make sure that you understand the opportunity that paid leave provides for you and your employees because you're not paying for it? So we want business owners to be thinking about the tools that are available. And then we want the policies to actually reflect them. So Cover California, whether you're offering a small group or individual, you know, your folks can still get coverage. Cal Savers, really amazing retirement product through the state. It's free. Sign up. All you do is just a line item and you kick the retirement funds into their retirement. You don't have to pay for it. There's no minimum participation. It's administered by a third party. Encourage you to check those out, because as we come into next year, we know that business owners are going to have to be making really difficult decisions, not just about how many folks they've hired, but the quality of job that they're able to provide to those employees. And we know that business owners care deeply about their employees. So any policies or priorities that make healthcare more affordable, retirement more accessible, and paid leave more accessible, we want to support.
I just want to reiterate for everyone that Small Business Majority, Mark and his team, are doing the heavy lift of keeping an eye on the priorities of things like access to capital, shifting consumer behavior, commercial leasing, all the ways to be innovative with their own business. So you're going to want to keep track of what they're focusing in on and what they're sharing relative to research and data, and also what their policy priorities are, because these guys are in the know and they're going to have a really key lens. What is the best way to have a positive impact on the small businesses that are trying to recover from COVID-19. Mark, in the last minute or so we have with you, what is the best way for people to keep abreast of all the work you're doing? What is the way they can reach you? How can they get involved?
Thank you, Jesse. Well, thanks again for this opportunity. Always good to come in and hang out. And also just thank you for your leadership at the state level for a number of years. And then also now, I know you've done tons of work locally and regionally here in LA to make sure that business owners are accessing emergency support, that you're supporting what the state and the county can do to support small business owners. So thank you for that. Yeah, smallbusinessmajority.org. Check us out. You can fill out the form or you just go ahead and email me. It's mherbert@smallbusinessmajority.org. Happy to connect you with, we got a team all over the state and happy to connect with you and make sure that we get you plugged in. But caloanfund.org is a great resource. Go check it out. We encourage you to do that and just really appreciate chatting today. And I do want to say one more thing, and I know we're sort of running over time here. As small business owners are thinking about next year, and as you're thinking about the opportunities and the challenges, one of the things we are seeing and that's worth keeping an eye on is that especially this summer and really early fall, and we're going to get numbers here in a little bit, we've seen an unusual number of business starts. So you have a lot of folks jumping in and saying, I actually want to be an entrepreneur. actually want to start a business. It's hard to know how many of those are viable and sort of where they're coming from. But as you think about your customer base, do you have goods and services that are helpful for the new startup small businesses, for mom and pop small businesses that are entrepreneurs that are getting going? There may be an interesting and unique market for supporting new small businesses as we come into 2021, if we see that trend hold. So something to think about, something to watch. And, you know, we do know that of the businesses that failed, we know that the percentage of failed businesses are anywhere from 20 to 40%. Those entrepreneurs don't go anywhere. And those entrepreneurs are still looking about forward to how do I grow? What's my next venture? So we imagine many of those small business owners might come back and try again. And if they do, there might be some goods and services and opportunities to working with those businesses to help them grow.
That is truly the California spirit, the American way, right? Restarting, rebuilding, and growing once again. So Mark, just thank you so much for all your insights. It's always great to have you, man. Hopefully we'll have you again in the 2021 year to come, but appreciate your time. Always good to see you.
Sounds great. And next time, maybe we'll do it in person and we'll be able to get together without COVID.
Hopefully, man.
And we'll do it for real.
Absolutely. Thanks. If you are a California business owner seeking out resources and support, please visit our website, COVID19BizTools.com, which provides a comprehensive listing of grants, programs, and services for COVID-19 impacted businesses. You can also visit COVID19BizTools.com to let us know what topics you'd like us to cover. Just reach out to us on the contact page on the website. Have a great day, and we'll catch you next time on Hack My Business.